Thank you very much to the organizers, and it is, of course, a pleasure for me to be here in honor of Peter Orlik. And last year we invited him to the conference in Cortona, but unfortunately he didn't come. But I take the occasion to say that I hope to meet him next time, because probably we, 99%, we are organizing for the 2010 special period in Pisa at the De Giorgi Center, probably in the late spring. So we are just at the very beginning of the organization with the Corrado. Actually, it doesn't start already there. So, but we are almost. Okay, so I hope to meet him and many of you, of course, in that occasion. So I'm going to talk about local system homology or cohomology. And this is a subject, of course, where most of people here have done a lot of contributions. Peter Orlik, of course, wrote several papers about this subject. So our point of view maybe is to be considered as another method, together with the others, I hope to be useful for computations of local systems. So let me start by motivations, which started by papers, recent papers. I have to cite first these two papers of Dean Capapadima and Randall, who showed that the complement, as yesterday it was said, that the complement to an arrangement is a minimal space, in the sense that there are as many I cells as the ith Betti number of the space. And of course, after this, we were very much inspired by the paper of Yoshinaga, who considered the case of a complexified real arrangement, and succeeded to describe some features of the minimal complex. So, in all these cases, it was important the Morse theory, and in the almost classical or semi-classical case, but in any case, from the differentiable point of view. And after this paper, we considered the philosophy was that since it existed already some known CW complex, which described the homotopy type of the complement in the real case, we tried to minimalize this, and we found a way to do that by combinatorial or discrete Morse theory, which I'm going to recall in a moment. And this is a very amusing theory, in my opinion, which could be considered as a Morse theory of CW complexes. We follow the theory according to the Forman point of view. And what I'm going to describe, so we got some gradient field over the complex and minimalize it, and we also have some formula, explicit formula for the Morse complex, which compute the homology, let's say, was implicitly the homology, And what is done in the, what I'm going to describe now is a little bit, is some develop which I did with Gaiffi in Pisa, which is a simplification which I will describe in few at the end. So this theory of combinatorial Morse theory contains all the ingredients like Morse functions, combinatorial discrete Morse functions, discrete vector fields. And pure combinatorialists would describe it in terms of the so-called matchings or acyclic matchings, and I think this will be done by Emanuele De Lucchi in a sequence I don't know in another talk in a couple of days, which will describe, I think, his development from the pure combinatorial point of view. And I want also to cite this paper, which I think is going to appear, where De Lucchi and Settepanella considered the orderings which I will describe in a moment from pure combinatorial point of view, and described also some interesting class of arrangements which I think fit very well with the formulas which we found there with Gaiffi, and I asked them, and it seems that this is work in progress, but it seems that they are very good in this case. You have immediately several some information on the characteristic varieties for this, at least some information for the characteristic varieties is almost immediate for this class of arrangement. But okay, so I have to, unfortunately, I have to record some notations very quickly. And so we start with a real arrangement. And of course, you have a stratification in open cells given, induced by the arrangement. And this index usually means the codimension of the facet, and this is a partially ordered set as usual. The facet F is lower than G if and only if G is contained in the boundary of F. And we want to find a discrete Morse function of a complex, and which describes the complement, the homotopy type of the complement, with the minimal number of critical cells. So I recall only two things. The only things I need about this complex are the following one, that the K cells in one-to-one correspondence with the pairs given by a chamber and a facet, so the K, this is a codimensional K facet contained in the boundary of the chamber, and another cell is in the boundary of previous one if and only if G contains F in the boundary, and the chamber D, which is in this pair, is obtained by considering a sort of operation, which is just this C point G means the unique chamber. Let me show a picture. A chamber which is, so in this case, for example, DF1 is in the boundary of CF2 because D is on the same side as C with respect to the fine subspace generated by F1 and so on. So these are the only things which are used, and so now I have to recall something about discrete Morse theory, the main points which we need. First of all, what is a discrete Morse function? So, for simplicity, I take a regular and finite CW complex. There are some variations if the complex is not regular. So, in our case, the complex is regular. So, I take regular and a discrete Morse function over this is K, of course, not M, over K is a function which associates to each cell of the CW complex one number, and this association satisfies the following condition. That means when you pass from one cell sigma to of dimension p to another cell tau which contains or dimension one more, which contains sigma in the boundary, then usually the function will grow. But there are two exceptions, one going up and one going down, which are allowed. So at most one exception can happen for each fixed cell sigma. And the analog of critical points of classical theory is substituted by critical cell. So a point of index p in this case is a p-dimensional cell. Excuse me, of dimension p, of course, of dimension p. And critical means that there are no exceptions. So when you pass from sigma to another cell, which is contained in the boundary, then the function decreases, and when you go up, the function grows. And this is a Morse function, and what we have to remark that both conditions simultaneously cannot happen. So only there is at most one exception of these two for each fixed cell, sigma. And then you have the notion of gradient vector fields. So associated to a discrete Morse function, a gradient vector field is just a set of pairs, sigma of dimension p and tau of dimension p plus 1, which contains sigma in the boundary, which corresponds to the exceptions of the in case 1 above. Okay. So, of course, because of the remark above, there is at most one pair of each cell belongs to at most one pairs of the gradient field. So this is a particular case of discrete vector field associated to a Morse function, but one can generalize this to discrete vector fields over K just by collection of pairs sigma and tau, where one is contained in the boundary of the other, such that as before, for each sigma, sigma belongs to at most one pair of phi, of the field phi. Okay. So after this, and this is this notion in combinatorial terms corresponds to matchings, but I prefer now to say this way. So a path associated to a vector field is a sequence you start from some p-dimensional cell and go up of one dimension using the field using the field. Then you go down on dimension one using the boundary in this case. And then you use again the field, and so on. And this is a sequence like that. Of course, you don't want repeat that the boundary of one cell is immediately is the one before. So you have to consider also this condition. And the useful theorem in this theory is that the analog combinatorial analog of differentiable facts is that the discrete vector field is the gradient vector field if and only if there are no non-trivial closed paths. So this is what we need essentially from the combinatorial Morse theory. Okay. And then we have to construct a gradient vector field over the CW complex before, which has the minimal number of critical cells. And one could try to find a Morse function, but it seems more easy in general to find the field than the function directly. So the idea which works in the differentiable case of genericity works also with small modification in this case, in the combinatorial case. So take a complete flag of subspace, which is generic with respect to the arrangement A. I don't want to go to technicalities here, but the idea is just that if you move the coordinate subspace VI inside a one parameter subspace family around VI minus 1 and inside VI plus 1, and this subspace remains transverse to the arrangement. So that means it's transverse to any subspace or the lattice of the arrangement. So, for example, let me draw a picture. It's clear enough, but okay. So I don't know if I succeed to do that, but somebody with computer is much better than this. But I try just to give an idea that you have this. You move. This around the pole of the system, and you want that it remains transverse. So, for example, in this case, it is not transverse at some point. So you need to take another more far point. So, for example, the point which you are using as a pole cannot be inside the two parallel lines, otherwise. So, but except for this, one can show that one can find this generic flag always. So, okay, to any generic flag, or in general, to any flag, you can associate system of polar coordinates, or coordinates, which are, you know, polar coordinates. I take these coordinates like theta 0, theta n minus 1. By convention, theta 0 is just the distance from the pole, from the origin. And theta I are angles. Okay. suitable defined angles. So if you take a generic flag, then the polar coordinates have more structure, give more in sense that, for example, one of the main remark is that the following simple one, that if you take a facet F of the arrangement, then you can define a first point of the a minimal point of the facet, which is I don't want to give a definition, but for example, for this one, it is just the point which you encounter first when you move this family. In one-dimensional family, at some point you encounter some first point for a facet. And you can generalize this idea of for any facet. And first theorem of the paper which I mentioned before is that to generic polar system of coordinates, it is associated a total ordering of the facets. So I told before that the stratification has a natural partial ordering on the boundary. In this case, we have another total ordering, which is defined in the following way. If F is lower than G, if and only if the first points of the two faces are different, then you take first the one whose first point is lower than that of G, in the sense of anti-Lex ordering. When the first point is the same, then for example, in this case again, let's see, in this case again you have the first point the same of for example, these three facets have the same point, initial point, then you move a little bit the space which is obtained in the family which I said before, you move a little bit, and by induction you have to consider the intersection of the facet with this moved line, and by recurrence you can define this ordering. I will, I don't want to give the full details here because it's just an idea here. So we call this ordering the polar ordering associated to this, to the generic flag. Okay, now we consider that we have to construct a gradient on the complex, and we use this polar ordering to construct a gradient. We define a discrete vector field over the complex by the following way. In dimension j plus 1, this field is given by the pairs of cells. So this is a j-dimensional cell, this is a j plus 1-dimensional cell, and one is in the boundary of the other because of this condition, and the pairs which belong to the field satisfy the following thing, that fj plus 1 is lower than fj in the polar ordering, and this other recurrence condition, which means that for each fj minus 1 which contains fj in the boundary, then this pair doesn't belong to the previously defined j-dimensional part of the field. But I'm going to define in a pure combinatorial way, without recurrence, this. And then the second is that this is a combinatorial vector field on S, which is the gradient of a discrete Morse function, and the phi is defined in a non-recursive terms by only by the two ordering, partial ordering and total ordering, by the following two conditions. So the first one is that is equal to the previous here, and the second is that for each fj minus 1, which is contained in this interval, then fj minus 1 is lower than fj in polar ordering. So this can read in purely almost combinatorial terms in terms of these two ordering. And the set of k singular, k-dimensional singular cells is characterized by these two conditions, which means that fk is lower than fk plus 1 in its polar ordering for each fk plus 1 bigger, and for each fk minus 1 slower, lower and contained in this interval, then fk minus 1 is lower in polar order. So this can be read in the ASSE diagram of the CW complex, of the POSET, excuse me, of the POSET S, and introducing the polar order, also the polar ordering. And this set of singular cells correspond to the other description. If you, it is very easy to translate this set into the description which Yoshinaga gave of a set of chambers which does not intersect the I minus one, k minus one dimensional space. And also it is easy to see that this is a minimal number of cells. So this is, this corresponds exactly to minimal complex. I recall that, for example, let's see the one dimensional part of the complex give, of course, give a tree which, okay, you have a tree in the one-dimensional skeleton of the complex, which give, which say you how to contract this to one to the to the pole, to the zero, to the unique zero cell, which okay. So in general, from discrete Morse theory, you also know that the field, the gradient field, says exactly how to contract the cells, pairs of cells which belong to the field, in order to find the minimal complex. So, okay. In the last minutes, I try to describe. So we have. Let us consider the two-dimensional case, also defined for simplicity, and we have in this case critical two cells, which in our language correspond to pairs, chamber and point, such that P is the maximal phase in the boundary of C, and the critical one cells are just this one. So let me give a picture. This in this case, these are just the one, the critical one cells, and critical two cells correspond to pairs like this. Of course, if you pass to the to the opposite of a chamber with respect to this point, you get a another chamber which doesn't intersect the coordinate space. The other description of Yoshinaga which Yoshinaga did. So this is the two-dimensional case. And next we consider the case of local systems on the, on this complex, minimal complex. Of course, since this is minimal, the integral homology, the boundary of integral homology is zero. But we have how to consider the local system case. First of all, describe a block as a sequence of I am talking about the two-dimensional case now, as a sequence of one cells, of one facets, sorry, which the block is relative to some point P, some vertex P of the arrangement. So take one singular point P of the arrangement and consider a set of, like here, set of one cells going to P, such that the first n-1 of these are bigger than P in the polar ordering, and only the last one is lower than P. And for simplicity, I put here also that these are very ordered with respect to polar ordering, this this first part. So this is the definition of just a block of one facet. Then blocks can be composed when the last element of the first block has in the boundary the point P prime. You can compose two blocks, maybe deleting if there are repetitions. And then you can consider sequences of blocks, which give what we call admissible, in this case, one sequences for the and this is just a sequence of one-dimensional facets obtained by composition of blocks, as before, with the further properties. Since when you have to write the Morse complex relative to homology, you have to consider a critical cells of dimension 2 in this case, and a critical cell of dimension 1. And we have to go from the 2 cell to the 1 cell in all possible ways. And then what following the field, of course, following the discrete field which we constructed. The way to do that is through these admissible one sequences, and this condition translates the fact that you are following the field which was constructed, the discrete field which was constructed. That means you can repeat this operation each time you get a chamber, so you have a sequence of jumps. You start from the chamber C, and you jump close to the first cell, the first one cell, then you jump again to the other, and so on. And the requirement is that at the end you obtain this D. And this is the other condition which we need, just to translate the fact that we are in the field. It is not difficult to understand. It is just that this chamber is in this feature is below the FJ, this facet, more or less. So it is standard now to associate to an admissible sequence homotopy in a classes of parts, because to an admissible sequence you associate a gallery of chambers, And then from gallery of chambers you go to a loop, you go to a path in the space, and composing with the arcs of the one-dimensional gradient field, you get loops. So this is quite standard to obtain from this sequence an element of the fundamental group. And from this you get an algebraic complex. We calculate local systems over in any even non-abelian local systems in this case. And you have to, in some sense, integrate over all the combinatorial parts which I described before. This sign is easy to determine because it's the length of the sequence minus the number of blocks of the sequence. And since it is the number of sequences is finite, this gives an algorithm to produce explicitly some complex which computes the boundary, or in the Morse complex. And remark that this holds for any local system, but for abelian system there are some simplification, a priori simplification. So let me describe the stronger simplification which one can do, because here you have some algorithm, but of course many of these, in some cases, these paths give the same element of the same automorphism of the local system. So there are simplifications in this formula which we would like to consider. And to see in the two-dimensional case what happens, we consider some notations. So consider a singular point P, and SP means just the set of lines which contains P. The cone of P is the closed cone which is contained between the minimum line and maximum line which passes through P and go to the intersect, this cone intersects the coordinate line in a bounded chamber. Then suppose that the pair CP is a critical two cell. In this case, for example, this pair, which is delimited by this, the chamber C is delimited by these two lines, L lower C and L upper C. And then you have U of C, define UC as the set of lines containing P, which are over over C, and LC, the lines which are below C, just very easy combinatorics. And U of P, it is the set of lines L in general, which are below, which pass where P is below L. That means line which pass over P, in some sense, in this case. Okay. So this is just some easy notation. And now consider an abelian local system over in a fine arrangement in two-dimensional case of lines. That means a pi 1 module, and the ti are the automorphisms are associated to an elementary loop around the line li. So the formula which we obtain by simplification is the following one. So this gives the two boundary in the case of an arrangement of fine lines, real lines. So assume that you have These are the singular one cells, which I drew before. Okay, that correspond to the okay to these cells which I turn around the hyperplanes. And then the boundary in a local system is explicitly given by this formula, which simplifies all this summation which I wrote before. So here you see the boundary of two cells in the singular two singular cell is explicitly given by this formula, where you have two terms. One, this element of the basis one-dimensional in one dimension corresponds to lines which contain the point P, which is the point which indicates the two critical cells, and these others are elements which correspond to lines which go over P. So this is very explicit, and we have also written a computer program which immediately gives, if you have the if you give the arrangement in some data, you immediately give the boundary matrix. For example, in this case, you, of course, once you have the boundary matrix, you have to compute the characteristic variety. This is another history, but for example, it is quite immediate to compute some local systems with one parameter. It's almost immediate to compute them. And here, for example, we put in this example, we have the characteristic variety is given by two components, and we also recompute the Suchu example of B3 deleted, which is given by finding this translated torus of on the. We have also the other the equation for the others, but I don't write there, of course. You can write that. And this is the translated torus of dimension one, which you obtain in this case. So, this is the computation for local system with one parameter. And so at the moment, of course, we are experimenting such formulas which the philosophy we hope that to find some information more precise. For example, in the case of classes of arrangements, they should give more quickly some information about the characteristic variety. But how to get this formula? This few words about this. You can divide the formula into two parts. First, is the easy case, is the central case. In the central case, you get a formula like this. I forgot to say what this symbol means, but this means the set of lines which you obtain going from CK to FJ, going around in the anti-counterclockwise sense, okay, more or less. And this formula is obtained through the previous one, which contains this big sum, through simplification over the admissible paths. And the simplification in this case is easy, but the philosophy can be used in general. And so I say some word over this. So, for example, you have to go from this pair to another singular cell. So this singular two cells, another singular two cell. So we have to consider all admissible sequence from this to this, and then all admissible sequence, you have two cases, when the cell is below C and when it's above. When it is below, there are only the first jump that you do must go below this, and then you see that you have a lot of simplification, that it remains only one case essentially, or maybe two cases that remain, and they give each of these give a contribution which is very easy to compute. I don't want to go in the details, but it's quite easy in this case. And the other case is when J is bigger than H plus one. That is, you are going from this to something which is over, and then you have two types of admissible sequences. After simplification, it's easy to find the contributions of these two. Then this is the first step, and then you have to go from once when in general, if you're in a fine arrangement, you have to go from a singular cell here to a singular cell in the one which going to the one-dimensional coordinate subspace, for example, I don't know, here, and if you have so you have to consider all cells, all paths which go from here to here, and the idea is to go by induction, passing a singularity at each time. So if you guess the formula, then you prove it by induction. It is in some not difficult way. So this is. Just to finish, I just say that there is a natural spectral sequence associated to this complex, because when you go, you can order the points starting from the coordinate one. You go in this direction and you order the singular points according to the polar ordering, and so there is a natural filtration, which means that you add the singular cells each time which are relative to some point, and then and all the cells in the boundary, which you can determine by the formula, which are in the boundary, which are contained in the cone of the singular point. And so you have some natural filtration, which we are exploring, and it seems very useful to do computation, because this filtration the spectral sequence contains only these two lines in the case of two dimension, and the boundary is, for example, E naught. You have that here. It's easy to find what is in these places, and it's very easy to find the boundary, which is given by the formula. So it seems that for the computations, this could be very useful. At least this is the first impression, but we have to work also with other students over this. This is what I think I have to finish here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. Does it show that? I don't think so at this moment, because U is combinatorial, but with, of course, as usual, as oriented matroid, not like, because you have to consider up lines which are over and left. But I know that I heard about a paper of some student of Dink, I think, who showed that the local systems are combinatorially determined. But maybe, but I didn't try to do that. I think I had just a very quick look at the paper, but it seemed to use a topological method. I don't know, because I very, very quick look, so I don't know what methods they use, but completely different from this. But it, of course, it is an interesting fact.
My
able to
is
that
higher boundary operator?
Sorry? Explicitly, we are working on that. Not yet, but the philosophy. I think it's just a question to think. You have to. It's not so difficult, probably. Just to. Because the philosophy is the same. I mean, you have to consider first the central case, and a formula for the central case. And then, when you go to a fine case, you have something like here, that they appears only in the boundary explicit. The non-zero terms are only for cells which have some condition as below, like here, which means that the cone, you have the pair CP, so you have a kind of cone which contains this. Must contain the point P from which you are starting. I think this is the condition. But explicitly, I think we at the moment we didn't have time to do that. But it should be done, of course. I don't know if Forman
has it. It's something that could reflect the fact that it means 5 were over circles.
But as far as I know, I don't maybe Forman himself, I don't know if he did something about that. I don't know.
All right, let's thank Mario again.